could get awkward. Wait.
Those are.
Wait, did you?
Sure. This could get.
Oh, I did it wrong already.
No, it sounds stupid.
Are you ready?
This could get awkward.
I think that was perfect.
So I want to start off our episode by sharing a quick anecdote. Spencer and I just bought a new car. We're really excited about it because she's very pretty and too fancy for us, which means we can no longer afford to eat or have children in the future, but that's okay. It's worth it, maybe. Anyway, so it's really nice, and I took a couple coworkers out for a joyride the other day, just at Starbucks, and as we were driving there, one of them pointed out that a couple people had been looking at the car, and one guy was like, ooh, it's a unique-looking car, sort of. And so I was telling Spencer that afterwards. I was like, people keep looking at the car when I'm driving and I feel like such a badass. And Spencer was like, yeah, well, you're hot girl driving a sports car. And I was like, whoa, did you just say I'm hot? And he was like, yeah, any girl driving a sports car.
Oh.
That was really mean. He said something so nice and then it hurt my feelings.
So what kind of car did you guys buy?
Okay, so it's a Kia.
Is that that's not a sexy sports car? What?
Right? Except it's a Kia Stinger. That's why it's sort of in our price range, is because it's a Kia and they're trying to, I think, maybe rebrand themselves, and nobody thinks Kia can pull off a car like this, which they really, really are. And I'm just spewing shit that I've heard other people say because I don't know what I'm talking about. The makers of it are people who had previously made Audis and BMWs and really nice cars.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's a very nice car that's kind of competitive with higher end luxury types of cars, except that it's a Kia. So it's not as ridiculously expensive as those cars. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the awkward experience of buying a car.
For sure. This is the first time you guys as a couple bought a car together.
Yes. This is the most major financial commitment and expense that I've ever done in my entire life. And it's definitely the biggest purchase decision that Spencer and I have made together. So that in itself was interesting because we were such a good team. I think we were pissing dealerships off, though. So we went and we test drove it. We test drove this other car that we were like, oh, it's great. And then we met this car and we were like, well, nothing's going to ever compare to this. So fuck that other car. But at the same time, dealerships, you know, you go in there. Have you ever bought a car before?
Yeah.
Test driven and whatever?
I've only bought a car once before, and it was 6-7 years ago. And thankfully, my dad came with me. Otherwise, I just wouldn't have had any idea what was going on. And it was, I didn't enjoy the process.
So I kind of did because Spencer loves cars and he knows what he's talking about. He does a crap ton of research beforehand and lots of comparing and stuff like that. So he knows what he's talking about. He goes in pretending like he doesn't know anything so that he can call people out when they're lying or when they don't know what they're talking about and that sort of thing. And then it puts them like, oh shit, he knows a few things, and then they treat us with a little more respect. Which is bullshit because they should just, you know, be honest.
Yeah, I know.
Humans to begin with. But anyways, so when we went to test drive this car, we were obviously in love with it and really wanted it. But we're also, both of us do not make snap decisions. We both like to mull things over and think about things for like quite some time before we act on anything. And so the dealership people are, you know, it was the end of the month during a slow period, so they're trying to make their sales quotas. They're very motivated and a little bit pushy at the same time. As I'm not a pushy salesman, but then they're like, okay, said every pushy salesperson ever.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, okay, so what about this? And you're like, well, you know, we think about what we're really looking for is a deal that includes this and this and this and amounts to this much money. Okay, what about this? And we're like, you know what, this looks great, like we run the numbers and everything. And then we're like, okay, cool, well, we'll think about it and stuff and we'll come back. And then he's like, okay, 1 second, and like goes and gets his manager, and then his manager comes, and the manager's like, okay, what do we need to make this sale today? And we're like, there's literally nothing you can do. We are not going to be rushed into making this choice.
It's because they don't want you to leave, right?
They don't want you to leave. And so it'd be really uncomfortable, high pressure situation at the same time as they're pretending it's not a high pressure situation. And so that whole thing is kind of uncomfortable. And so anyways, that happened three times at the exact same thing happened three times at three different dealerships. And then we had three different sales reps texting us both, trying to get us to consider their offers and ask what else we want and whatever. And so we were basically just having so much fun pitting them all against each other and trying to get the best deal for ourselves, which was fun. And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to take it from here. Hey, it's Samantha. I'm going to take it from here. And then shoot a bunch of questions or say this is what we want or whatever. And then if they went to try to like explain something that I didn't fully understand, I'd throw it back to Spencer, but the both of us were talking about everything constantly and stuff. So we were just this unified team that could not be pressured, that knew what they were talking about. And I think we were just pissing people off, but pissing people off who like desperately wanted our money. So I just kind of felt like I was had hands both full of other man's balls. And I was just like, whatever I want, I'm going to get right now.
No, and I think good for you, because that, I think, is what happens. A lot of people get pressured in these situations and, oh my gosh, I have to make this decision right now. Yeah. But you guys knew you had the time to do it. You're going to mull it over. You're looking for the best decision for you, because you're not wrong. It's a huge amount of money. It's a
massive purchase.
It's a big commitment to purchase a new car.
Yeah, man. So there's this one guy who he was working his butt off, and he really wanted us to buy from him. And he was very friendly and pretty cool and everything, but he just kept dodging our questions. So we asked very specific questions of all three dealerships, and the other two gave us precise answers. And this one guy would not answer our freaking questions. And it was becoming really frustrating. So we wanted to go with him, but he was making it impossible for us to go with him because he wasn't giving us any information. And so eventually we worked out a really awesome deal with this other dealership. And so we texted him, thanks for everything and for trying to work with us and everything, but we're going to a different dealership. And then he was like, you never even gave me a chance to match their offer. And I told you what their offer was yesterday. You said you couldn't match it. If you can, here's exactly what it is. You will literally need to match it or do better. And then he texted again saying, okay, what if I can do this? Can you just, for the love of God, answer these 10 things? Give me exactly what you can do for these 10 different categories or, you know, parts of the deal or whatever. And he just would not answer the questions. And so eventually we're done here, and we got our car for a pretty sweet deal.
So when you say that you were looking at three different dealerships, were they three Kia dealerships?
No.
So you were looking at different style vehicles in every place?
No, they were all the same car. So we were looking at one specific type of car and three different dealerships that had one. So the annoying guy who wouldn't answer our questions, he had a brand new 2018. The other two that we were talking to both had used ones. Mm. I think one of them was a Kia dealership. The other two, one was a Ford. I think I can't remember what the other one was, but they just had come upon, I guess,
in a trade
in or something. Yeah. It was cool. And then the other guy that we didn't go with, I emailed him the offer that we were getting and said, you know, this is what we're getting, just so you know, like in case he can top it or something like that. And he was basically like, I can't, like, I don't know how they're doing that for you. So bye, like, good luck, kind of. And we were like, okay, like, that was cool that he was nice and he wasn't trying to pressure or bullshit or anything, but a lot of bullshitting and stuff. So I'm happy that Spencer and I got through kind of the awkward parts and the, you know, the pressure and all of that kind of a thing. And we were pretty unified the whole time. So it was pretty good.
Because that can be a difficult decision to have to make with your partner as well. Finding something that you both like.
Yeah. When we were sitting in one of the dealerships, there was this other couple they looked to be around our age buying a car, and they did not seem to be agreeing on anything. And it seemed to become a heated conversation, not just between them, but also with the sales rep. At one point, the buyer, dude, you need to stop. Okay. You're really close to making a sale, but you need to stop. And I was like, this is so awkward, but entertaining.
You're like, let's keep people watching. Okay. So I just have one last question about the car. Okay. Because you said it was a sports car. Does that mean it's a
two-door? I don't know. I don't know if it's a sports car. I know that it has five different drive modes, and one of them is sport. It has four doors.
Okay. I think sports cars normally only have two doors, but okay.
For anyone who's, what the fuck is she talking about? It's a 2018 Kia Stinger GT Limited.
I'm gonna look it up after this.
She's beautiful and she's thunder gray.
So I know you guys have scotch. Is scotch allowed in the vehicle? Like, is he not gonna ruin it?
It's actually actually really cute the other day. So our garage is incredibly narrow. It is so freaking narrow. So it's very awkward. If you park it right in the middle, both people have sneak outside, like sneak out the door, and shimmy down the side of the car. It's so bad. Or one person has to get out before we get in the garage, and then you can park closer to one side so you can comfortably get out. It's very awkward. It is the world's skinniest garage. And so we usually try to park close to one side. If Scotch is in the car, close to one side so he can get out easily the other side. But the way that the doors are shaped is they kind of get thicker towards the bottom of the door. So it takes up some of the room that Scotch needs to get out. So he's only been in the back once. And when we came home and we were trying to get him out of the car, there was just no way. And he was trying so hard and he was, okay, I'm going to do it. I can't do it. And he was just so scared, but really wanted out of the car. And so it's not quite a hatchback, but it opens up. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay.
So anyways, we opened up the trunk and put the seats down and Scotch jumped out the trunk.
Oh, okay.
From now on, he'll have to get out before we get into the garage.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Are you worried about driving this vehicle knowing that you scratched up your old car getting in and out of?
Oh my God. The abuse of the other car. Yeah, I am nervous, but it has cameras all around it, 360 cameras, so that's helpful.
That helps a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I am scared that when we first drove it home, I did 53-point turn to try to make my way into the garage. I tried backing in, I tried going forward, and I was just like, I can't do it, I'm too scared. So it was fun.
I don't know if I've shared my experience about buying my car on the podcast yet, but I can share it briefly with you. And I'm actually getting a little bit anxious at this point because I know I'm going to have to buy a car soon-ish, I think. My car has over 200,000 kilometers on it. And so I'm just worried. I don't know exactly when it's going to kick out, but I drove it a lot in the 6 years that I had it. And I bought it used, but it didn't have that many kilometers on it. So when I went to go buy my car, I did a lot of research online, and my dad helped me out and did a lot of research online as well, because where I grew up, there's not a lot of car dealerships nearby. It's a trip to go to the city to go to a car dealership. So we decided one day we were going to go out and we were going to go to all these different spots that had a car that I liked, that was in my price range, and just that would suit me well. And so one of the lots that we went to was probably about like a 45 minute to an hour drive away. Mm-hmm. And they mostly specialize, I think, in used cars, but decent used cars. And so there was one car in particular that I inquired about. They had three of the same vehicle. They were all different colors. They had slightly different mileage on them. So they were all slightly different in price range. And the one that I really wanted was a charcoal gray. And it was, I think, the cheaper one because it had slightly more kilometers on it. So I called in advance. They said, yes, it's here. I said, great, I'll be out. It was either later today or tomorrow, and I'm going to come out and test drive it and check it out and everything like that. And so that was the car I was most excited about because it was actually a couple years newer than all of the other vehicles I was able to afford and look at. And it was like a whole newer model of the same version of car. So it had, it was like slicker. It was just, yeah. It had a whole new design to it. So I got to this dealership, and the salesperson that I had talked on the phone with, I wish was so nice. Not our sales rep. He was the fucking worst. I think I just automatically really despised him because when we showed up, the car that I wanted to look at wasn't on the lot.
Oh.
After I had called and asked about it, and he confirmed that it was on the lot.
Yeah, that's not a good start.
So I was just automatically turned off from that. And he said, you know what? We still have these other two cars that are just the same. And I'm like, well, they're not just the same. I'm not trying to be super materialistic and worried about the aesthetic, but I did prefer the other color of the car.
And it's a big purchase. You want to get what you want.
Yeah. And this other car that he was showing me was slightly more expensive. And this car was already like at the very top of my budget. So... I went out and I test drove it anyways, and then I hopped into an older version of the same, similar car or similar model that they also had on the lot, and I just hated it after driving the newer version.
Yeah.
I can't exactly remember how it went down, but we just really were not impressed with this sales rep because it felt like he had lied to us and just like conned us and getting us out there anyways to come look at a car that was maybe similar and slightly more expensive. And so we ended up walking away because we were just frustrated with him. And as we were driving away, my dad turns and says to me, you know, Janelle, none of the other cars that we're looking at are that new and they're not going to be that model style. They're all going to be that older version that you didn't really like. He said it was a really good deal for, you know, getting a newer version and just all the research he had done on it. And he couldn't believe how good of a deal it was for the used car that it was. Mm-hmm. Turned around with our tail between our legs and went back. And I ended up purchasing that car. And that is the car that I have right now. But it was just, it was frustrating. And there was quite a few during the negotiations of the price and everything with this sales rep that we didn't want to deal with, but was just our guy at that point.
Yeah.
It was just really frustrated. Both my dad and I were being very short with him because we were already frustrated with different aspects of it all. And so
yeah,
I think they ended up throwing in, I don't know, like some extra cleaning or mats or I'm not exactly sure. They paid for the licensing of it or something, or the plates and stuff to try and equal out that it was more expensive than the other car. So it wasn't my favorite experience. And I honestly would be scared to go shopping for another car without my dad, because my boyfriend, who I know it's kind of like a stereotype, but often men know a little bit more about vehicles than women do. And I just felt more comfortable with my dad. He knows cars in and out, but my boyfriend now does not know cars at all. So I have zero confidence in the two of us going out to purchase a vehicle together.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I was very grateful for Spencer and his knowledge, because I, same thing, like, and before, so even with Spencer and his knowledge and everything, we're not going to do this until my stepdad says it's an okay idea. Because we were both so blinded by the fact that we really wanted this car, when our original intention was to wait until October to get any new car. We're months ahead of schedule. This car is way more than we need it to be, but it's fantastic and we really want it. So we couldn't really tell if it was a good decision or not. Mm-hmm. So I emailed my stepdad all of the details, and Spencer and I looked into our financial futures 6 years down the road. We factored in all of these different things, the car payments, the insurance, but also maternity leave and having a baby in like a few years and that sort of thing. Does this actually make sense? And I was expecting my stepdad to say, you guys are fucking idiots. What are you doing? But he asked a few questions and then he was like, okay, go for it. And I was like, shit, then we're gonna go for it.
And that just gives you the extra boost of confidence. Okay, yeah, we can do this, right?
Yeah. My stepdad has an incredible mind and for finances and making good financial choices and investments and that sort of thing. And so I don't do anything financially without running it by him first.
Yeah. There are certain things that I don't know when I will ever become independent from asking certain family members or my parents about. And I mean, just going back to the car thing, when I lived closer to home, my dad just did all of the maintenance on my car. He did oil changes, he did tire changes. He once scouted out and found me used winter tires for my car, and I just paid him for it. And so I definitely didn't take that for granted. I totally appreciate it so, so much. And anytime there was anything wrong with my car, he always fixed it. And then when I moved out east and I was unable to have that help and aid from him, it was really scary going to a mechanic and having your car looked at, and then just having, literally the first time I went to a mechanic and had to have my car inspected for a safety when I lived in New Brunswick, I was handed or told that it was going to be $800 to fix my car, to have it on the road, get it past safety. And to me, I was just wondering, is somebody trying to pull one over me?
Yeah.
Because I clearly don't have a whole lot of knowledge when it comes to car mechanics. And
you're not knowledgeable enough to know if you're being taken advantage of.
Yeah. So I had to call my dad and told him exactly what this guy had told me I needed to have fixed. Mind you, the mechanic that I went to was suggested from a coworker of mine who I completely trusted and said he was a really great guy and it was a good shop and it was family run. And, you know, he wasn't that kind of a business operator, but I was still worried. And I told my dad, okay, he says this needs to be fixed. He says this needs to be replaced. And my dad, obviously not being able to look at the car and tell, but he said, you know, you have this many kilometers on the car and this has not been changed since XYZ. So yeah, that makes sense. It probably does need to have all of those things fixed. So go ahead with it.
It's hard to tell. And Spencer was telling me a story the other day of his dad's friend who took his car in for just a free oil change. And then the mechanics were like,
while we were changing your oil, which is in one spot. And they were like, we noticed that you need new brake pads and new like, blah, 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 blah. And the guy was like, I'm actually a mechanic. I'm just here because the oil change is free. So I know that I don't need new brake pads and like all of this other stuff. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's very hard to tell which ones are lying and which ones are not. While we're on this topic of not being able to tell exactly when you're being lied to, Spencer and I were having, all of a sudden, our kitchen sink would not drain. You would run it for 30 seconds, both sinks would fill up and take hours to drain. And This is disgusting and awful and super inconvenient. So we told our landlord and our landlord is amazing, by the way. And then he sent over his contracted plumbing friend who came over, who is very, very nice. And he snaked the drain and he pulled some stuff out. But he said, there's big blockage further down that I cannot get to. And I think it's in the, because we're in a condo, there's like a unit above us and that sort of thing. And he was like, I think it's part of the shared use, like community pipe underneath you that I cannot access. Therefore, it's not a me problem. It's a property manager's need to deal with it problem. So we get a hold of the property manager who was so freaking rude. At first, he was talking to the plumber that my landlord had sent over and I could overhear them. And he was talking over him, just being incredibly rude. So I got on the phone, excuse me, hello, hello. And he still was just like talking, not listening to a word, just being so rude. Excuse me, can you please just let me say one thing? And so eventually I said to him, I was like, you are being very rude right now. I have a problem that I need to solve and I really appreciate it if you would work with me to help me solve the problem. And then he apologized for being rude and helped me. He sent over this other guy. So at that point, because it was not our pipe, it was a community pipe or whatever, he sent over another guy from the property managers to look at things. Now that guy snakes the drain. He uses like a super long snake, snakes the drain, says he's done. So I come into the kitchen. Yeah, so there's no blockage. I think the problem is that the pipe under your sink is horizontal.
What?
So he's being very nice and he's been very nice to me the whole time, but I know he's lying. So, okay, I'm just going to take some pictures and a video of you explaining what the problem is or whatever, just so that I can properly explain it to Spencer and our landlord and whatever. So see here, the pipe is horizontal, so the water can't go down. I'm like, well, it's water and gravity and physics and it does go down.
Eventually,
and the pipe has been this way forever, yet all of a sudden our sink won't drain. So that doesn't make any sense. And I said that to him. Okay, let's see. So he fills up both of the sinks. They are plugged. They are draining so slowly. And he goes, see, it's fixed.
What?
Okay. So obviously this guy's full of shit. He's not going to help me. Anybody would be able to tell he's lying. So anyways, that was super frustrating. He left. Okay, what do we do? So then are on the phone with the property managers. Our landlord is on the phone with the property managers. This is a week later. They haven't sent anybody.
Wow.
Our sink doesn't work. We can't do our dishes. We can't do anything. If we run the dishwasher, the sinks fill up. So we knew that there was a major blockage somewhere below us. And that's all that the problem was. So we're talking to the property manager's contractor. And yeah, well, Johnny said that he cleared the blockage. And I was like, hold on a second. Johnny told me to my face that there wasn't a blockage. And now you're saying there was one and he cleared it. Yet nothing has been fixed. We're still having the same issues. So you need to send someone over to actually fix it. He's like, okay, I'm going to send someone over to fix the pipes because that's what Johnny said the problem was. Okay. You know what? Sure. Fuck it. Send someone over to fix the pipes, but we're going to need to determine that that is for sure the problem before they do that. Anyways, I sent some different plumber over who snakes the drain again.
says, yeah, there's a massive blockage down there. And yeah, we fucking know.
Getting the and, fucking run around. This is ridiculous.
I know. And so finally, that guy cleared it. He actually cleared it. And everything has been perfect since. And so it was just so fucking frustrating because I knew he was lying to my face. And then I had evidence that he was for sure lying because he told me to my face there wasn't a blockage. And then he told his boss that he cleared a blockage. So this is such bullshit. Why is it so hard for you to just be honest, do your job, and not try to take advantage of someone who may not be able to eloquently explain to you what the fucking problem is? I just felt very... The second time that the plumbers came, I made sure Spencer was home. And that sucks because we just, both of us just felt more confident that he was less likely to be lied to.
Yeah. And that's a shitty, that's such a shitty double standard that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that is messed up. It sounds like the one guy wasn't even a plumber. And the other thing yeah. that's like problematic for that is... You're a tenant. This isn't your property. I feel like you shouldn't even have to really have to deal with all this big hassle.
Yeah.
If you're the owner, yes, I understand that. But as a tenant, that sounds, I don't know, it just sounds a little bit more than what you guys should have had to been dealing with somebody.
It was super annoying. But our landlord's great. So we don't, and he was in the loop the whole time and he was making phone calls for us and that sort of thing. So.
Oh, that's good.
He was super, super there for us. It was just these fucking assholes who, you know, they have a skill or a set of tools that we don't just have laying around, so we can't fix it on our own, and they're lying, and it's just, what is the point of all of this? Because at the end of the day, you're still going to have to do the work.
Yeah, there's still a problem, and you're still going to complain, and then you're going to get called again another couple days later or whatever it is.
Yeah. And eventually, so the guy who was initially super rude, when everything was all fixed and said and done and everything, he called and apologized for having not fixed the problem. And so it's nice that he was able to apologize both times. Could you just maybe not be a decent human from the get-go and then we're good?
Wow. We can't be the only people who have ever had something like this happen to us. So if you've ever felt like you were... I don't know exactly how to describe it. Bold-faced, lied to.
gaslit in your own home.
Tell us about it. Yeah, you can get in touch with us through our Twitter, which is at TCGA Podcast, or our Facebook page, This Could Get Awkward, or you can email us at thiscouldgetawkwardpodcast@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there.
Chat with you next week.